We're talking about heaven today, and the first passage that we're going to look at is in Philippians chapter 1. The book of Philippians, chapter 1, and I'm going to ask you to read with me, beginning in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot, that is, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two." In other words, Paul is saying, as we would say, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm in a dilemma. Because he said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now, Paul was experiencing some tension in his mind. He was having some conflict in his feelings. Paul was a prisoner of the Roman government, and probably at this time he was under house arrest. But he knew that he was going to have to appear again before the Roman officials. And those Romans could put him to death, or they could release him, or they could keep him as a prisoner. And so Paul, in verse 20 of this chapter, says that regardless of how things go with his trial, whether it be by life or by death, he said, Christ will be magnified in my body. So whether I live or die, whether they put me to death or set me free, Christ is going to be glorified in my body. That's verse 20. Now, that's why he follows in verse 21 and says, for to me, to live is Christ. If I live, I'm going to live for Christ. But if I die, that will be gain. So either way you go, Paul says, I'm in a win-win situation here. Things are going to be good for me regardless of whether I live or die. Now, that's the kind of attitude that a Christian ought to have. And because of what he says here in the following verses, we ought to think about what he says about leaving this world and, of course, eventually going to heaven. So Paul says there are two possibilities. I'll either live or I will die. And he says, if I live, you're going to benefit from that. You Christians are going to receive good out of that because I'm going to be able to help you even more to live the Christian life and to encourage you and to build you up. But on the other hand, if I die, that's going to be gain for me. So Paul says in verse 22, I don't know which one I would choose if I could, because he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I'm in a dilemma here. And notice what he says in Philippians 1, verse 23. He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul said, as far as I'm concerned, as far as what I want, as far as what I prefer is concerned, he said, I desire, what I really want is to depart. Now that means that Paul wanted to leave this world. Paul wanted to die and go on and be with Christ. So it's not an unusual thing for a faithful child of God, a faithful Christian, to want to leave this world. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's normal. Paul said, I want to leave this world and be with Jesus, because he said that is far better. And I want to use those words to set the tone for this lesson. Heaven is far better than this life. Heaven is so much greater than what we experience here that Paul said, as far as my personal preference is concerned, I would much rather depart and be with Christ. Now, obviously, we've never seen heaven ourselves. We've never been there ourselves. But we have the Bible to tell us what heaven is like. And to begin with, to imagine what heaven will be like, think in the following terms. Take the best things in this life. The love, the joy, the peace, and every good, pleasurable experience and feeling in this life. Take the best states of mind in this world that we can possibly experience and multiply that many, many times. Then take away every bad thing in this life. Take away the sin. Take Satan out of the picture. Take away any evil person. Take away disease and pain and death and worry, and then add to it being in the presence of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the angels as well as the saved people of all times, from early in the book of Genesis all the way to the end of time when Jesus comes again. And then just imagine keeping all this forever. And that just begins to describe what heaven will be like. And what I'd like to do right now is to look at several verses in the New Testament that talk about the reward that is waiting for Christians. And the first passage that I want to look at is Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. The book of Revelation, chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 13. Here the Bible says, "And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Now, there's several things that I want to point out here, and I'd like for us to think about. First of all, he said that those that die in the Lord are blessed. They're not cursed. They are blessed. Because when you die in the Lord, you receive your reward. And leaving this world, you leave behind all the pain and the suffering and the sin in this present life. Those that die in the Lord will leave those things behind. Then he says that those that die in the Lord will rest from their labors. One of the sweetest words on earth, especially when we're weary, is the word rest. When you're really tired physically, there's hardly anything that you want more or anything that feels better than just being able to rest, just being able to sit down or to lie down and to rest and to sleep. It's something that we need. It's something that we must have, and it's something that we long for when we're really, really tired. But oftentimes in life, we find ourselves being weary on the inside. We find ourselves being stressed mentally. Our hearts ache and our soul is burdened many times in this life. And one of the sweetest ideas, one of the grandest thoughts for a Christian, is to go to that place where we can rest. And a place where we're not going to be burdened anymore by the trials and the tribulations and the temptations of this world. But there's also something else very encouraging in this passage. He said, their works do follow them. And what he means by that is that when those who are in the Lord die, the works that they do live on. They live on in the lives and in the hearts and memories of people who are still alive. And so the Bible shows that one of the things that keeps a Christian going, one of the encouragements to a child of God to endure tribulation, to resist temptation, and to never give up, is the fact that our influence will live on. Our works will follow us even when we're dead and gone. What encouragement this passage is in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. The next passage that we want to look at is found in the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, and we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4. The Bible says that Christians have a hope, and that hope is this, 1 Peter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance. First of all, this is something that we're going to inherit. You know, when somebody makes the promise that they're going to leave something behind for you, if somebody that is a relative says, I'm going to put you in my will, and I'm going to leave you an inheritance, that is something that you look forward to. That's something that can help you in life. But when God says, I'm leaving you an inheritance, I'm giving you an inheritance, that's something far beyond anything that mortal man can give us. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible describes that inheritance. First of all, it is incorruptible. That means it will never decay. It will never wear out. It will never become old. It will never cease to be. Secondly, it is undefiled. That is, there's nothing to stain it. There's nothing sinful there. There's no blemish in heaven. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's nothing shameful in heaven. There's no unclean thing that will enter into heaven. You don't have to worry about that. That fades not away. Heaven is something that endures, and it endures forever. It does not fade away. In this life, things do fade away. Things don't last. So many things do not last in this lifetime, but heaven will. And not only that, number four, he says that heaven is reserved. This place is reserved in heaven for you. So God has set this aside. It's not some kind of dream that has no reality. It's not just some kind of offer that has no basis in fact. It is something that is absolutely real, and it is as sure as the very being and nature of God, because God cannot lie. All right, let's turn next to Hebrews 11, and we're going to begin reading in verse 13. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 13. And this is very interesting because he talks about these great Old Testament heroes of faith, and he's just talked about Abraham and Sarah. Now, the thing that I'd like to point out about Abraham was that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, that Abraham was very rich. Silver, gold, cattle. Abraham was not rich. He was very rich. But Abraham didn't want to keep his money. He didn't want to stay here to spend it. He was not so attached to his worldly possessions that he wanted to live here on and on. No, the Bible shows in Hebrews chapter 11 that he actually wanted to leave. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Not permanent citizens, but strangers, that is foreigners, and pilgrims. In verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, not on earth, but heaven. In verse 15, for truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So these Old Testament patriarchs desired a better country. And what is that? It's heaven itself. Now then, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we find a very encouraging passage about the outlook that we ought to have concerning the trials and tribulations of this life and the reward that awaits us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, Paul said, in light of all the sufferings that he and other disciples faced, he said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, because of this, Paul says in verse 18, we don't look, that is, we don't aim, we don't focus on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And in chapter 5, verse 1, he said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that's where we want to be when this life is over. You know, you sometimes see these words, rest in peace, on a tombstone. Actually, that's what we want. We want to rest in peace for all of eternity in heaven.